With Rosh Chodesh Kislev here and Hanukkah soon to be, there is a pretext to what I would like to do even before we get to Rav Kook on Hanukkah. My pretext is a very simple one. We've been learning all of these years, Rav Kook. One can honestly say, okay, he's a Das Yachid. He is singular, and we all reject him. Indeed, this has been said over and again to me and to others, especially in the yeshiva world. What's it to talk about? He had this fixation. It started out as a dream, turned into a nightmare. And he never gave up that nightmare. He's a Das Yachid, and it's Batel, it's finished. That's it. My intent tonight, and in Yitzhak Hashem in months to come, is to be able to show you that it's not entirely true. My intent is not a fixation. My intent is a one-note Johnny kind of a situation. It is the same theme that you've been hearing from me for all these years, that not only is he one of the most original thinkers, but for the Frum community, he presents one of the deepest challenges, especially in the door in which we live now. I found a set of textbooks that is used throughout Eretz Yisrael for the teaching of historia, for Jewish teaching of Jewish history. It was written by a gentleman whose name is Rav Meir Sharansky. Rav Meir Sharansky is a menahel, the first principal and dean of Beis Yaakov in Tel Aviv. If I'm not mistaken, this Beis Yaakov was the mother of all Beis Yaakovs. It was the first to have been established throughout Eretz Yisrael. As far as the man is concerned, I don't know him personally. I do, however, in reprinting the page, see that the man has written quite a few things. Totally black hat from a picture that appears of him in the first volume as a young man, and he published this volume in Tovshin Vov, that is 2 years before 1948. Okay? And the rest of the volumes continued on and on, volume by volume, in addition to many other things that he wrote. There's no question in my mind that this man is not a Kippah Sruga individual. He's definitely a black hat individual. And surely he would be nothing else if he were a menahel of Beis Yaakov. You know what the philosophy of Beis Yaakov is. It's not Yeshiva University. It's Beis Yaakov. Now, I use this as a pretext to be able to get you to understand what's going on. Purim is a Yom Tov experience that has been replicated over and over again. There are personal Purims, aside from the Purim of Shushan, that are celebrated throughout the length and breadth of the universe, because on that day the Jewish community was saved from a proverbial Haman, and they established it as a day like Purim of Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha and so on and so forth. Purim you see constantly. I can't count how many Purims there are, but I do know that throughout Jewish history, this term of a Purim in this city, a Purim in that city, exists dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Hanukkah is not the case. There is only one time that I see Hanukkah replicated in Jewish history, and that was at the time of Rabbi Akiva, when he was able to root the Romans out of Eretz Yisrael, the soldiers, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, view themselves as the latter-day Hashmonaim. I never saw that replicated ever again. Until I picked up, quite by accident, and there are no accidents, you know, there are no coincidences, until I picked up the last volume of what this man did. You heard his orientation. I think by all standards over here, you would know from the way he looks what he represents, what his uniform is in terms of black hat. And he writes in the last volume, the last two pages, about the Six-Day War.
These are the last volume that he ever published, as far as you know?
As far as I know.
But after that, what?
I can't tell you. I saw this, and I bought it. I bought it at I bought it for mitzvah's sake. There was someone who was selling it, and for a couple of dollars I bought it, for next to nothing. I think $20 I bought the whole seven volumes. So obviously it was nothing more than a davar. Someone must have come and wanted to sell the books, and whatever he gets from it, he gets from it. But in checking afterwards, I know that this is one of the standard texts that Beis Yaakov uses.
Even today, as far as
yeah. There are others, but this is used. But that's only periphery. Let's see what the man goes ahead and writes about the Six-Day War, 1967. He goes ahead and says, "Biyom Chavav Iyar, on the 26th of Iyar, Tavshin Chav Zayin, Hitchila Milchama, the war starts, Kimat Mikola Me'arav Neged Yisrael, almost the entire Arab bloc surrounds Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Mitzrayim Hayta Rishona, Shedarsha Me'ha'um Umot Mu'uchadot, United Nations. Mitzrayim was the first that had demanded from the United Nations, Shetotzi Et Chayaleha, to get the soldiers that were bordering, that were border guards, Sheshamru Ba'Gvulot, Shebein Mitzrayim V'Yisrael, to get them out of there, U'miyad Acharei Zeh Hitchila Milchama, and that's what set off the war. Mikodem Mitzrayim Neged Yisrael. First it was a war of Egypt versus Israel. U'miyad, and instantly, Nichnesu Gam Yarden. All of a sudden Jordan jumps in, followed by Syria, v'Iraq. Kulam Neged Yisrael. Israel is surrounded on all four sides. Mamash, where?
What is the reference to 1948? It says five...
It's talking about 1948 here. Tashkent.
No.
It's a
typing mistake. It's a what do you call it?
It
should be 67. What? What's it talking about? 5th of June. It's not 1948. It's 1967.
Yeah. Shkaya. Okay. So Tashkent is 1967.
Yeah. No doubt about it. 1948 is Tovshin Chet. Sure. I didn't even notice that.
I got mixed up. I thought he was talking.
No. Sheshet Hayamim. Six-Day War.
Okay.
Now, Mamash, and you see I've underlined it in the text, and if anyone listens to the tape, you should have the text in front of you, otherwise it's meaningless. Mamash, Rabim, Neged Miatim. The many against the few. Temeim, Neged Tahorim. The defiled against the holy. Rishaim Neged Sadikim, scoundrels against saints. Zeidim Neged Oskei Torasecha, Ganovim against those who made their way in life according to the Torah. Where did you hear those words? Where do you hear those words? Where do you say it?
Shmoneh Esrei.
What Shmoneh Esrei? When?
It's for Hanukkah.
The Alanisim.
Yeah.
The Alanisim of Hanukkah. So you say it's poetic. Okay? And the purpose of all of these armies was kedei la'ashmid mitachas shmei ha'shamayim chas v'chalila, to destroy from under the heavens of God, heaven forbid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa tshuva gedola, and the Ribbono Shalom comes with his great victory, shetzva sadir bimdinot gedolot, that a standing army in such tremendously large countries, einam yicholim la'avin zot, that you can't begin to imagine the odds. Hashem Yisparach Hazalanu. And it was the Ribbono Shel Olam's victory. V'hayu mamash nisei Hashem Yisparach. They're talking about Nisim in the Six-Day War. When I saw these lines, I could not believe my eyes. You could say it was poetic license. Okay? You could say that it was flowery language because you write that which is familiar to you. Okay?
But even if it was, someone from the right, quote unquote, would not even use poetic, wouldn't even be caught dead using this kind of poetic license. I don't have to say any further in offending people. Someone from the far right would not use this, even using poetic language. He would be accused of you? Wrong this? Am I right or am I wrong?
My only question is,
you're dead center. Well, no, we do care. We do cross up.
With my brethren, for the last 2 months, I've learned that they do what they want to.
Yeah.
With some Hasidim.
Yeah.
They hold the way they do, and I hold the way I do.
But we're not talking.
Change them.
Okay.
You're not going to change me.
Okay. We're only talking about ourselves. And remember, our thesis here is that Rav Kook wore a shreimel and a black hat and a bekisha and a gartel, and he was a tzioni. Simple as that. That's our thesis. How could it be when the entire world tells us that these two quantities are mutually exclusive? Can't be one and be the other. You can't dance at both chasanis at the same time. Either you're a tzioni or you're from Yid. That's our entire thesis. You understand? Now, if that's not your intent, then I want to tell you that's my intent. I want to talk to myself and tell myself that I can wear my black yarmulke and a talus over my head. You understand? And that's the way it is.
But I have no problem with that.
I hear what you're saying. Right. I hear what you're saying.
You know,
I hear what you're saying.
I'm learning not to have any problems
okay.
with those that...
I hear...
Looking, you know,
good.
When I went around saying it's Rav Kook's yahrzeit, like I said, only a one yamach shemo.
Okay.
I myself lucky.
I hear what you're saying.
But that's not...
Okay. But I'm telling you that we have to be... I'm not so convinced that we all have... resolved in our heads that we have no problems with it. It's not entirely true.
It doesn't mean that if I were walking down 2nd Avenue or from 800 2nd Avenue and I saw a big demonstration with Schleimlach and or Berliner with Schleimlach, with the big black hats and the long black coats and the beards, and if you would just change from 1 week to the next, it would be PLO next week, and the dialogue wouldn't be all that different. It doesn't mean I wouldn't get violently angry over something that I think is a Chilul Hashem. But on a more personal level, from mensch to mensch, if this guy holds this way and holds this way, that's his business. I'm still going to do what I have to do.
Just for the sake of those who, you know what 800 2nd Avenue is?
Yes.
That's the Israeli consulate, mm-hmm. That's his consulate. You were saying?
You know, I mean, I'll never forget that when I worked at Grand Central Station, and 1 week, sure enough, there was all the Hasidim there demonstrating across the street with the barriers and everything nice and legal. And then a period later or earlier, I don't remember, PLO. People, I mean, real violent, anti-Israel. You know, the first time in my life that if I had ever had a weapon in my hand, I would have been... I was shaking. I'd never hated so much when I saw people that literally, I felt threatened. I felt my life was threatened by these people.
You talking about the Satmar or the PLO?
The PLO. The Satmar, you know, you have to take, you know, as much as I was infuriated by what I saw, there's still Jews, and even if I had a loaded weapon, I would have pointed it up in the air.
They only fight well against the tax collectors.
That's another story altogether.
Come back, because I want to show you that this is not so
right,
off center or off topic, and I want to show you how this connects directly to Rav Kook. If you pick it up on line 26, B'sheshet hayamim ha'achronim shel chod...
I'm sorry.
Forgive me.
The next two lines, can you just quickly, because I see there's a reference to Tzava HaGav Yisrael, can you just translate that?
What? Yeah. All right, then you want to go back to line 9. Biyom Hasheni Shel HaMilchama, the second day of the war, Nehersu Kalil, there was total destruction of 385 Avironim, 385 planes, Shel Mitzrayim, okay, Al Yedei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, by Tzahal, Ubemeshech Shisha Yamim, and within 6 days, Tzahal Kavash Kol Ha'arim Letzad Mitzrayim. They were able to get all of the cities down towards Egypt, that we know on the map, Kol Sinai, the entire Sinai, v'higiyu ad l'ta'alat Suez, and they reach the Suez Canal, as we know. He gives you nothing but facts.
Okay. Zaha,
Zaha Israel is in quotes. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But if you look, don't get scared, because if you will look at line 18, you see, Shebao la Kotel Hamaravi is also in quotes. I don't know what his criterion is or his criteria are for putting things in quotes. You understand?
Yeah.
But you surely cannot say that it is cynical, so to speak.
No, not at all.
Also,
because
it's Tzahal, he doesn't put it in quotes.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. But if you pick it up at line 26, B'sheshet hayamim ha'achronim shel Chodesh Iyar, in the last 6 days of Chodesh Iyar, ra'inu nisei Hashem yitbarach be'am Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael, we saw the Rabbanu Shel Olam's nisim. Al kach kvar modeh kol chayal shebetzahal. There isn't a single soldier, he is writing, and he's writing shortly after the war, that doesn't admit that. Umefakdim kishuchim, and hard-boiled officers, anshei hagav vatikim, these are all divisions of Tzahal. Achayot, nurses, chovshim, medics, mechazitot hashonot rofiim v'senitarim. Okay, we're talking about the medics and the doctors and the nurses from the various fronts. After all, they fought on three fronts. Sherak hanes min hashamayim hitzilotanu. It is a unanimous feeling that it was a heavenly nes that saved us. Kol echad hilgish et zeh al oro ve'al besaro. You felt it in your skin and in your very being. Im kol hakavod letzahal. Notwithstanding all of the kavod that is due to Tzahal for their expertise, E.F. Shalomar, it is impossible to say, and this is what the man in the street is claiming, Shetachmoshto, that its weaponry, V'yecholto atzvait, and its military skill, Misugal haya la'asot et asher asa, was capable of doing that which was done, meaning alfei ezrachei Yisrael, thousands of citizens, chayalim ke'ezrachim higiyu lidei maskana, soldiers and citizens, man in the street, nes min hashamayim, we're talking about nisim over here. Now, take a look at the last three lines. Asayim kmo b'nes Chanukah. I want to add, he says, one conclusion. As we write with Hanukkah, Shasham Katuv, that's there, in other words, in the Gemara, in Masechet Shabbos about Hanukkah, it writes, L'shana acheret kiva'um, years passed, and they established Va'asa'um, and they made these days of Chofei Kislev An, Yamim Tovim, Yom Tov, V'Halel, V'Hoda'a, Chala, and praise unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kein nizke im yirtza Hashem gam anu lachgog v'likboa bekarov et hanei shosheshet hayamim b'halel v'odah. May we go ahead and merit bekarov soon that the nes of the 6 day war shall be established b'halel v'odah. You ask, Rabban, you ask who wrote it? Here is the man who wrote it.
Wow.
Okay? Here is the man who wrote it. Black hat, man.
Must have been written this. Must have been Mamash after the 6 day war.
Well, let's see.
The next year.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. He wrote this in Tovshin Chet. This book, the book was printed in Tovshin Chof Chet, which was 1968. It has the official imprimatur of Beis Yaakov on it.
And he must have written it right
before. Okay.
It says from the Beis Yaakov Press.
That's it. Now, you're not going to tell me who cares. Because I've been looking for this evidence to be able to substantiate our feelings. There's one problem over here. I'm the only one that's telling you this. I can be selling you a line. I can be the guru of this little cult over here that says, we got this Novi, this Ish Kadosh called Rav Kook, and the world begins and the world ends with Rav Kook. I have an independent source that has absolutely nothing to do with Rav Kook, that uses the identical thinking of Rav Kook in Tchiyat HaUmah, in the renaissance of our nationhood. Okay? And what's more, I have the second, to my knowledge, the second and only the second sushtel, how do we say it in English, comparison of something that happens historically to what happened in the days of Hashmonaim. The first, as I told you, the first being Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim viewed themselves as the latter day Hashmonaim and drew their inspiration to be able to take on the Roman Empire from the Hashmonaim. The Rabbim Ba'ad Miyatim and Zaydim Ba'ad, you know, Oskei Sor Sechel and so on. This is the only other case of Hanukkah that I know. Not so the Purim.
What about 1948
and 1956? I hear what you say.
I know.
I hear what you say.
They didn't feel that in 48.
Not the way they feel, because we had the Kotel in Yerushalayim. The Hashmonaim, when they came to be able to establish the Avodah and the Beis Hamikdash. And the Pachshemen of the Kohen Gadol.
Saying the comparison is Yerushalayim, which we
unquestionable. That's correct. Unquestionable. If anyone is a Baal Tshuva today, it is on the steam, by the way, of that which was generated beginning in the Six-Day War.
If I may say, see, 48, Israel had some losses, just as much as...
You're talking about a man who was there. I mean, he's an expert.
48, they had losses, quite a big, a lot of losses. Like, as much as they had wins, they had the one also, of course. Yeah. But they had a lot of losses. And the main factor that they lost is the old city. And badly, they were trapped there. The Jews were trapped in the old city when the old city were lost to Jordan.
They had to surrender.
They surrendered, but then they were trapped in there.
What happened?
The Jews that lived in the old city at the time. Fair in 1948, before Israel became a state, Jews lived in the old city.
Uh-huh.
And when the Jordanian took over the old city and they actually won the old city, mm-hmm. they Jews were caught in it. That's one example. But they finally made a deal and they let them out. They were prisoners.
And they leveled the area.
Well, they leveled. No, they didn't. They kept the old city there for themselves.
No, but I mean the Jewish quarter.
Well, not the main part, but they. The synagogues, the levels, but the homes, they lived in the homes.
Why the houses, I remember seeing.
No, the homes, but they lived quite a bit. There was a lot of homes which they lived in themselves, and, you know, and then they lived. But that's one example. Then what about the Gush Etzion? They also, there were Jews was right there. So what I'm trying to say is that there was Israel. It wasn't like the Six-Day War was a total victory. Mm-hmm. Total, wherever they went, it was victory.
And it was such a the time frame.
It
was done. The 48 war dragged on for weeks and weeks and weeks, right?
Well, months. 48. It was a year and a half. Right. What are you talking about?
So 3 months. Was in 6 days. The whole war was from Shabbos to Shabbos, you know.
And the main thing about you people don't realize that they they call it the
War of Independence.
There was one of the biggest loss of life that Israel had. I mean, they fought with nothing. I was a little boy at the time.
Broomsticks.
But they had a tremendous loss. I mean, in life. I mean, let's call it the way it is. I mean the whole area from. I mean. Israel lost all this area. What about Hebron and Gush Etzion, in Old City, and then going up? There was a lot of Jewish kibbutzim that they lost too. You know, there was, of course. If you look at it, what they had, they actually was a victory because they had nothing. They had no way.
But you're saying it wasn't
a total victory,
right?
And you know, Six-Day War was a total victory.
You have a degem.
Whatever they want, they were.
Yeah, you have a degem. You have a model here. Mm. Interestingly enough, in Tanakh, when Yehoshua came and returned to the Promised Land, so to speak, so he fought 31 wars and subdued 31 kings. Had Eretz Yisrael, with the exception of one little speck, he did not conquer Yerushalayim. not in the Sefer Yehoshua, and not in the Sefer Shoftim. Right? Not until the times, not in Shaul's time, even though Shaul's predecessor, Shmuel HaNovi, was able to unify all Yud Bei Shoftim. It wasn't until David HaMelech came and was capable of the conquest of the Yevusim, the Jebusites, and he was able to subdue Yerushalayim, then bingo, then goes the base of Hikdash. Then you reach the sea, you reach the pinnacle of conquest. You have an interesting parallel. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do with the parallel. But here, in the third return to Eretz Yisrael, in 48 and in 56, we still didn't have the pinnacle. Came 67, bingo. You had to say something.
Yeah, they didn't take it back. Like we had to give back Sinai twice.
Yeah.
In what?
Sure.
56 and 67.
56 and 67.
And now in
77.
Go ahead.
But we didn't give Yerushalayim back.
That's that's what you say about.
I ain't giving it.
What you say about the Bali Tshuva today? I think it's very true that you see that the after the Six Day War was when you had the big change, and now you don't see so many people now when they talk about it. I mean, you find all sorts of periodicals and places that talk about what they call the Bali Tshuva movement, and they don't mention this really is the impetus.
You see,
very much.
You'll forgive me for a moment of haughtiness, but what can I do? I looked around over my shoulder. It is 32 years that I'm teaching Jews. I started at age 16. I am now 48. Out of those 32 years, 30 have been with the Bali Tshuva movement. Okay? What do you want? That's two-thirds of my life. That's two-thirds of my life. In 67, I was already Roshi Verubi in the so-called Baal Tshuva movement. I was a Pied Piper for Yiddishkeit. Okay? The kids used to sing, "Have Torah Will Travel" is the name of a man. And they meant me. And I traveled 493,000 miles in these United States of America. I'm telling you that the minute the Six-Day War happened, we had a whole new program. Neve Yerushalayim, Ol Sameach, Eish HaTorah. That's when it happened, within a year afterwards. That didn't exist before. There was only one place up until that time. It was called Yeshiva Universities, JSS.
All right, but are you saying
that time was JSI.
What's JSS?
Jewish Studies, School of Jewish Studies, Jewish Studies
School.
James Stryer School. Okay? For a yeshiva program to take those who never learned and to start them from Aleph and be able to give them smicha. That's it. Didn't exist. Yeshiva University is the only one. After the Six-Day War, that's when you had the proliferation in Yerushalayim. Didn't exist before.
Yeah, but you're making statements. How do you know what they say at Or Sameach or at the
Eish HaTorah?
Eish HaTorah in these yeshivas. How do you know they don't give credit to the Six-Day War for their...
I said that I see now a lot of periodicals that talk about the Bali Tshuva movement, and I don't see written there any reference to
it. I'll say it on the tape, and I'm going to send it to him, so I'm not ashamed. I would guess that my brother Yeshiva, and Eliezer, you'll correct me, that they don't give credit to the Six-Day War for what's going on in your yeshiva and your... You personally have Bali Tshuva, I assume, in yeshiva. But I don't know about, Or Sameach with Rabbi Gottlieb speaking. There's a different point of view there.
I just started reading through again the OU. They're one of the OU symposiums on Musa. And also the last one that they had about the
called, they called it like the State of the Union, like the State of Israel. They talked there a lot about the Bali Tshuva movement, and I don't see any of them that mentioned there that that was, you know, a link in terms of the Six-Day War.
There is.
Well, I didn't finish the whole symposium yet, so I mean maybe, you know, but I'm saying Robert Reluva.
There what? Is.
Yeah, it's the old magazine.
Jewish Action and stuff. There is a book, Return to Judaism, written by sociologist Janet Aviad, published by the University of Chicago, which is specifically a sociological study of the Baal Tshuva movement in Eretz Yisrael, done as a secular work from a secular point of view. There, where you see hardcore scholarship, you see that it is Shofar Gabi Levan. Unquestionably, it is stated. I'm not agreeing with all her, you know, all her motives in the research, but she's a fine researcher. And when you interview the people, you realize, the simple chronology, when it was established, when these yeshivas were established. They weren't established until 67. This business that kids, after their high school year, go to Eretz Yisrael to study for a year. Didn't exist before 67.
Didn't exist.
We're talking about the seminaries. We're talking about those seminaries. All those seminaries didn't exist until after the war.
I never heard of
it. That was it. Finished.
I know it took the war for me to go to Israel. I went in June.
My first visit was first December 1969. Yeah. December 30th, 1969.
Was it the Merkazis program? The year I was in Merkazis, also like I think the first year of Merkazis program, which was in 69.
Okay.
But I think the influences also came to Chutzlaritz too, because I think I heard stories, because I mean I'm not that familiar with 1967, but I heard hear stories from people, you know, who try to, you know, defend the state, and they say until 67 to be a yid in Chutzlaritz even was like, you know, you were afraid to walk out of the yarmulke. The success of the Israelis, the pride that was installed in the Jewish people, even here in America, of what the Jews can do, became opened up a totally new spotlight on their lives.
I remember 48, when the United Nations, it was 47, when the United Nations declared that Israel was accepted to the, you know, to the General Assembly. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was a kid. I was 8 years old. It was unbelievable. The simcha was just not to be understood. When Umot HaMuchadot in 1947 recognized, the General Assembly recognized...
Both were kids.
Okay, I was a kid. Okay, I was 8 years old.
You were there?
I was 8 years old. He was in Israel. He was there at that time.
I was doing the war. It was mamish. Okay. I mean, we lived in the basements there to... Because we were in Yerushalayim itself.
You were in Yerushalayim?
In Yerushalayim itself.
Where in Yerushalayim?
In the new Yerushalayim, of course. We grew up in the new Yerushalayim. But because the war was so close, I mean, we lived from the old city only less than a mile.
Where is that?
Mikol Baruch, I don't know if you know that.
Sure.
You know Mikol Baruch?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Mikol Baruch, the old city, I mean, it's
Chassidish there. That's Chassidish.
When I grew up,
it was Yerushalmi. Huh? It was Yerushalmi, and that's
all. It was many, now it became a very, very, very Chassidish, very fun.
Look, from the King David Hotel, like we said last night, the King David Hotel one block away was Jordan.
Yeah,
that's right.
One block away from the King David
at
Hotel.
At the time, and during the war, okay. it was I'm talking about before 48, he was all Yerushalayim. Okay. I'm talking about in 48 Mamish. I mean, I was a little boy, a little kid. So we went down in the basement, and but I constantly were, we lived there for months and months and months because you couldn't get out. Because, the kids, my older brothers were out there fighting. But the kids and my mother and my kid, I know I am from one of nine kids. So we're all little babies, you know. So we were very be honest with you, I remember very vividly the bombs that were constantly in our neighborhood, because the Jordanian constantly were they call them Afgizim, Afgazot. They call it the Afgazot.
Bombardment.
Bombardment.
Now, let's bring this back to where we were. Remember I told you that this was only a pretext. If you read this carefully, you saw two things that ran parallel, side by side, as parallel and as precisely parallel as two railroad tracks, one not deviating an iota from the other. Obviously you heard that it was Nisei Hashem, that people looked, the population looked at what was happening in every detail through the binoculars, through the spectrum of this had to have a supernatural intervention here. Nothing like this could happen without a Rabbanu Shel Olam overseeing what was going on. The same thrust in a parallel manner is heard of the recognition of military supremacy, military ability, technical skill from a military point of view. He does not at all sweep that under the carpet. It's there. He tells it to you straight. We didn't do every single line. But the high point is that you talk to any and every officer on any and every front, anyone who was involved in the military campaign of any degree, you realize that you have a kind of technical expertise and military expertise which is totally foreign to the Jew, except from Rabbi Akiva's time and before him, Chashmonaim's time. Simple as that. Rabbi Akiva's time, so we have records, not as good as we would want. Chashmonaim's time, we have Sefer Maccabim. It's an apocryphal work. It didn't go into Tanakh. Maccabim Aleph, Maccabim Bet, Maccabim Gim, Maccabim Dalet. To the extent that there is enough information that a scholar can get Cambridge University Press to write about it from a military historical point of view.
Wasn't it studied at West Point?
Okay.
You
understand? The author's name is Baal Kochba. It's a pseudonym, obviously. Wow. You understand what I'm saying? But we have the information to be able to try to piece together a military history of Hanukkah. You hear in what we read here of Sharansky, we hear these two themes. There are no two ways about it, that these are days of Halel v'Hodah, these are the days of Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who denies that is simply distorting reality. No man in the street saw it differently at that time. The biggest apikores had to say something about it, that it was Nisei Hashem. And at the same time, the recognition, the a priori recognition that there was a military victory over here. Now, I hate to tell you guys, or I have to tell you guys, from military victories, you don't learn in Perush, Rashi, and Tesis. You have to be trained for it, and you have to know what you're doing. Oh, yeah, there is a kind of brute force that you can learn when sitting and learning Rashi and Tosfos. You can get steel-tipped boots, and on Lee Avenue, on one Pesach in 1976, when Lubavitch and Satmar met at the border of Williamsburg, so they started kicking one another. All right? That's below critique. That's below critique. And both of them, the Cossacks and the Hungarians, both were wearing their military battle gear, you see. But to be able to do it in such a way that you have recorded a six-day war that is now military history forever needs expertise and needs a certain mentality. A mentality that the Jew has not had since the times of that other Hanukkah called the Bar Kochba Chashmonaim. I found something very interesting. in Rav Kook. And it's on page 3. In an essay called Orot HaTchiya, he writes about 75 chapters. But don't get too taken aback by that, because if you look, chapter Lamed Gimel is only 10 lines. You see, these are his excerpts of Orot HaTchiya. Says Rav Kook, Gidola hitviyateinu hagufanit. We have great demands that have to be placed on our body. We have to be very careful. Guf bari anu tzrichim. We need healthy bodies. Hitasaknu harbe benafshiyut. We are the masters at the nefesh of honing, of polishing the gem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us called the nefesh. But shachachnu et kiddushat haguf. We have neglected the sanctity of the body. Zanachnu et habriyut. We have gone ahead and neglected our health. Vehagivura hagufanit. And the need for bodily strength. Shachachnu sheyesh lanu basar kodesh. We forget that the same Ribbono shel Olam who gave us the neshama, gave us basar kodesh, gave us holy flesh. Lo pachot mima sheyesh lanu ruach hakodesh. It is no less than ruach hakodesh. Oh yes, we forgot it because we had an encounter with Greece, where Greece went ahead and deified the body and the body only in its beauty sense. Yafta lekim liyefet, and ahalei shame, and we Semites have been in constant battle with that. But we forgot that in our battle, by negating and abrogating our responsibility to the goof, we are distorting what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted of us. Okay? Azavnu et hachayim ha-ma'asiyim. We have left a life of doing, a life of activity. We become sedentary. Ve'et hitbareirut ha-chushim ve'et ha-kishur im ha-metziyut ha-gufanit ha-muchashit. And we don't have a sensual contact, and sensual means a contact of reality with what our body demands. Why? Mipnei yira nefula. Because of this lowliness of being afraid. Fear. Mipnei chosa emuna b'kedushat ha'aretz. Because we don't have contact with the only real estate in this life. And that's what? Eretz. Land. Real estate. Because we didn't have this kedushat ha'aretz in mind to be able to once again come back to it. So you don't need shririm, you don't need muscles. You need a cup. And more important than a head to be able to succeed in this world is, you know what, a chelek atachton, a tachas, to be able to sit and to be a masmid day and night and be able to create a Jewish genius. But we forgot. Emunat, and this is a Gemara in Brachas, zeh seder zroim, emuna, faith. Gemara works out in Maseches Brachos works out a six word pasuk to show you that Rebbe used this pasuk as his guide for Shas, and from emunah, faithfulness, meaning regularity, zeh seder zroim. What does that mean? Zroim, agriculture, land. Shema'amin b'chayeh olamim v'zareah. He believes in eternity, and he plans. Because I will plan today, my children will be here, my grandchildren will eat from this chorev tree, like Choni Amagel said. Old man, what are you planting for? It's going to take you 70 years to get this carob tree to grow. So what do you want? I found one, and I ate it. So now I'm planting 70 years later for my grandchildren. We didn't know that. We only knew Golus. We only knew flightiness. I'm here today, anatefka. Tomorrow I'm gone. I'll start all over again. As long as I have the ruach to be able to start all over again, that determination will get me. But we did not have the real estate all of these years. Kol tshuvateinu ta'ale b'yadeinu rakim tihyeh. This whole concept of tshuva and other in Renaissance will actualize itself in kol hod ruchaniyuta. together with the glory of the spirituality, gam tshuva gashmit yotzer adam bari. When you have a tshuva that is gashmi, that is not opulence, but is bodily centered, healthy blood, basar bari, healthy flesh, gufim chatuvim ve'itanim, trim bodies and solid, ruach lohet, and together with that, a spirit that burns, zoreach al gabei shririm chazakim, that brings light and casts spirit on strong muscles, ubigvurat habasar hamekudash, and when you have this sanctified, this gevura that is sanctified in the basar, is ta'ir ha'neshama shenitchalsha. Any defects in the neshama will suddenly burn bright. Zecher litchiyat ha'metim ha'gufanit. This is a model of tchiyat ha'metim. There is no other human being that I know who has ever written like this. I happen to have found this quote in something that came to the shul. Again, how a man influences ideas. Unquestionably, what I hold in front of you is not black hat. Okay? Unquestionably, you see that it is a different world. Okay? It's the world of chick chak, you know, modern Israel stuff and everything. Eli Tzur is an association of yeshiva kids, a sports league, which has as its nuclear energy the statement which we just learned and is quoted on every of Rav Kook, every single edition of this Eli Tzur Yeda, of their bulletin. This appears up here.